Glad you're with us here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to keep more of what you make. Clark.com is our main website, and you can follow me at facebook.com/Clark Howard. Coming up later in this show, I'm going to talk about the various ways you can get free shipping at a variety of stores that are all pretty much coalescing around two-day delivery as a way to compete against Walmart and Amazon. I'm going to tell you more about what they're up to and how you can get savings at a variety of stores you didn't even know you could do that at for free shipping. I want to talk about something Verizon is doing and give you a warning. Verizon has a new program called Verizon Up. And Verizon Up is a rewards program, kind of like an airline frequent flyer program, where as you pay your bills over the months, you earn credits that you can then use to get things for free. And at base, that is fantastic. You know, it gives Verizon a way to compete against others that are significantly cheaper for cell phone service and gives people a value add that maybe keeps them from leaving the Verizon ship to get their Verizon Up credits. And I thought that was just fine until I read on a number of blogs that buried deep in the terms of service for Verizon Up, you are agreeing to allow them to track you with personally identifiable information on every single website you ever go to, everything you ever do on your phone, and be able to laser target you specifically with ads personalized to you. Even worse, if you fire Verizon from the Verizon Up, you will have agreed, being with Verizon Up, that they have three more years that they can specifically target you based on your own personal surfing habits, apps that you use, everything you do on your device with Verizon Wireless. Now, if Verizon had made this just a simple, streamlined reward program, that would be fine. But the amount of personal information that they want on you is unacceptable to me. Now, here's the crazy thing. I've been reading through the stuff about Verizon Up, and I'm looking at their frequently asked questions. I don't see anything explaining the invasion of people's personal information. And it says you earn credits just by paying your monthly bills. And you can use these credits for a variety of rewards. There's nothing here that discloses that they are going to be tracking everything you're doing. So the lack of disclosure makes it even more suspect to me is something you should be involved with. And Verizon, as always, every time I pick on Verizon, I always say the same thing. You are free to put someone on the air to respond to the criticism I have leveled at you. Joseph joins us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Joseph.
Hello, how are you doing, Clark?
Great, thank you, Joseph. You're going to be an NP.
Yes, sir, I am. Yes, sir, I am. That is the plan. That is the big plan.
Well, all I can tell you is that you are front and center the solution to the shortage of primary care physicians in the United States becoming a nurse practitioner.
Yeah, that's the one thing that pretty much drove my decision was having some conversations with some PAs and NPs that I know. So, that's the big plan I'm hoping for.
So how many years is it going to take you to get your NP?
Just a little over two, a little over two.
Well, that's great. How can I be of help?
Well, the big thing is that right now I'm currently registered. I'm a registered nurse full-time working in a hospital. And my classes start in October, and my employer will be reimbursing me for each semester, but I have to put out I'll need to take loans out to cover the cost up front. And I'm just wondering which loan would be the best loan for someone like me. I'm established very well financially. I have good credit. So I was just wondering, would it be better to go federal with the federal student aid or private?
Well, let's talk possibilities. So these are going to be very short-term borrowings. These are going to be borrowings that you do for a semester at a time, pay that off, then you pay. Then you got to do the next semester and on like that. And it's only for 2 years.
Correct.
I have all that right. Do you own your own home?
Yes, I do.
I know this is going to sound weird, but probably the most efficient way for you to do this is with a home equity line of credit than with a traditional student loan.
Really?
They're not requiring you to take out a student loan that they then pay off. They're just saying you successfully complete a term and they reimburse the study, right?
That's correct, yes.
So with the home equity line of credit, which are things that I always want to be careful encouraging anybody to take out a HELOC, but if you have been in your home for any number of years, you may have a decent amount of equity in your home. Do you think you do in yours?
Yeah, well, this is going to be our fifth year, I believe, our fifth or sixth year in this house, and we refied last year, but yeah, this should be our fifth year in this house.
And did you do a cash out refi or just a straight refi to get a better deal?
Just a straight refi.
So you probably appraised out pretty well on that, right?
Yes, we did.
So there are a number of credit unions that are doing home equity lines of credit at teaser rates right now in the upper twos. And so if you can find a really good deal on a home equity line of credit, start with that. And then later, if interest rates start rising to a point that the HELOC is not a good alternative, then look at the student loans. But see, with student loans, you've got origination costs every time you take out student loan money. And the interest rates often are higher than what you're going to have on what you're going to need, which is extremely short-term borrowing.
Mm-hmm.
So if the HELOC turns out not to be a practical answer for you, then in choice between a private and federal, go with federal.
Go with federal if the HELOC doesn't work out. Okay.
Right. But this is great that you're doing this, and we need a virtual army of people becoming nurse practitioners and physician's assistants to deal with this massive shortage of primary care doctors. Because, I mean, let's face it, somebody goes through medical school, they spend all that money for it, they're going to hear the siren song for going into a specialization, and they're going to leave this big gap continuing to grow of primary care doctors, because doctors just make so much more money in a specialty than they do in primary care.
Yeah, most of the MPs and PAs I spoke with that are already practicing said that within the next 10 years, 8 to 10 years, they feel that a lot of the primary care guys are just going to be leaning towards specialties or just having just their own supervisory role in a PA or NP practice.
I think that's 100% where we're headed. And so you're going to have somebody that's going to earn you a good living, and you're going to serve others at the same time. Sandy's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Sandy.
Hi, Clark. How are you today?
Great. Thank you. Sandy, what's going on?
Well, I wanted to shop around for car/home insurance, as you advise. And I had a house fire about 4 years ago, and I needed to know if it was too soon to shop around for insurance or if it's okay to do it now.
It is okay for you to do that. And, you know, the insurers will tell you by their quotes if on your CLU report, having had that claim 4 years ago is still haunting you.
Okay.
And sometimes an insurer will count a claim against you in a big way for 3 years, others for five. and you're 4 years out, so you'll know pretty quickly from the marketplace if you're too soon to be a free agent and shop around.
Okay, so just kind of look at the price that they're quoting me?
Exactly. And, okay. You know, you can ask, wow, that premium seems high. Can you tell me what hurt me with you on that premium quote?
Okay.
And some will tell you and some won't.
Okay.
But 4 years, you're getting into territory where people may be more comfortable quoting you at a decent premium.
Okay. Now, my old insurance, the current insurance I have, the premiums weren't really raised after my claim. Is that, you had said something, I think, earlier on one of our shows I heard that they kind of get used to you and keep raising your rates because they think that they have you or something.
Yeah, that
like
depends
that.
On the insurer. And, you know, when I talk about an industry, you know, sometimes I paint with such a broad brush and not everybody does things the same way. You know, there are there are some insurers that use loyalty index scores and raise your rates the longer you stay with them because their background on you shows that you're a real loyal person. And I mean, they use all different factors to determine premiums and how they're going to treat you as an individual. And that's really great, Sandy, that your insurer didn't put you in a premium penalty box after your claim.
Yes, it is, because it was quite a large claim. So
you may find that they have earned your loyalty by not raising your rates.
Okay.
Well, best to you. And regardless, you get one more year down the road, and the odds that that claim, that home claim, would hurt you on premium pricing, very, very low.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Best to you. And Judy joins us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Judy.
Hi, Clark. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Judy. How can I serve you today?
Okay. I am seeing on the TV ads for a service provider. Where you somehow, I haven't gone there because I don't even want to go to places that I'm not sure of. My sister or my daughter just got burned on one of those, kind of sites that you go to. So I'm wondering if they provide services of home cleaning, carpentry, blah, 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 all those kind of home service jobs. Only they're looking for the people that do the services.
Yeah, so they're taking a cut of the action.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you use
what do you think of those?
I've used several of the referral apps for different purposes.
Yeah. And no. Yeah, but you've used them from the getting the service. But I'm talking about if I want to be one of the service providers.
Myself. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I always talk to people about what it's like. You know, are they happy with who they're using, you know, who they're using from that end, you know, as the service provider. And the reason that a lot of people use these things, like one I've used several times is Handy. I don't know if you've heard of that one.
No, I haven't. This is a different one.
What one are you talking about?
Okay, it's Tackle.
Oh, Tackle. Yeah, they're a competitor of Handy. Okay. And so with these, the people do it because it's their marketing arm, basically. And so they'll get jobs they wouldn't have gotten otherwise. They give up some of the money as commission to the app. Okay. And you've got the reviews that people have posted. And I have never had a bad experience as a customer.
Okay.
As the person doing the work.
That's what I worry about.
Yeah, I think
obviously they're going to have your information to be able to direct deposit or whatever. You know,
I'm not worried about any of that. What I think you've got to see is it worth your time?
I understand. I can go there. I'm just worried about applying online. Like I say, my daughter got burned on a site where she put in information and then the website went away.
Yeah, I guess that kind of thing can happen. There's eventually shakeouts with apps. But as far as using Tackle or Handy, who knows how well these two are doing, how long they'll last. But I'm not that worried about the security aspect. Maybe I should be, but that's not a big priority worry of mine. For me, for you, I just want to make sure that it generates enough income to be worth your trouble. Give it a try, and the worst that happens is you say it wasn't worth your time. But as far as the security problems, that's not on my radar.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
It's time for Ask Clark. That's where you post a question for me at Clark.com. Producer Joel asked it. And Joel, what you got?
Clark Chino wrote in and he says, how do you check a vehicle history report for free?
Well, first of all, there's a site I've talked about in the past, vehiclehistory.com, that allows you to check the VIN on a vehicle for free. And right now, because of the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey, there are any of a number of sites that normally charge for vehicle history that will give you flood title history for free. And they do that as like a teaser to get you to pay them for the VIN. Another thing is that if you look at vehicles for sale on autotrader.com, a lot of the listings now give you a free vehicle title history report if you click through right from the listing on autotrader.
All right. And Carolyn, on a similar subject, says, a couple of months ago, you told us there would be an overload of 3- and 4-year-old leased cars hitting the market, and we could find them for cheap. Where do we find these cars?
That was pre-hurricane. There's going to be a shortage of used vehicles for the next several months as people replace the nearly 1 million vehicles or some number around that have been destroyed. So that advice is temporarily void. Thanks for joining us here on the Clark Howard Show, where you learn ways to save more and spend less. And don't let anyone ever rip you off. Clark.com is our main website, ClarkDeals.com, where you go to save money each and every day. The free shipping thing is going to be bigger through this fall and Christmas shopping season than ever before, and it's because of the stores making free two-day shipping available. There's now ShopRunner, which has gone from being kind of like a needle in a haystack to try to figure out how to use, has become a very easy to use platform for you to be able to get free shipping with two-day delivery. Doesn't that sound familiar, like Amazon? Because everybody is trying to figure out, who has physical stores, how they compete for the online shopper and have reliable delivery. And so ShopRunner is something that at first was a benefit that people got with certain American Express cards. Now there are MasterCards that allow the ShopRunner membership. There's a button you can click for how to do the complimentary. There are paid memberships. Not my thing. I want you to get the free ones. And it is an incredible number of retailers that are part of ShopRunner. And I have one of the American Express cards where I've had the free ShopRunner access. And it's been a big help to me when I've been buying an item or two that I didn't have enough in my shopping cart to qualify for free shipping. But within there, you'll see a little thing, you know, for ShopRunner, and you sign into it, and then you have the free shipping. So if you go to ShopRunner.com, you can click and see all merchants and see if these are people who you like to shop with. Click on the button to see if you qualify for a free membership, because other than the free membership, it does get expensive. And that's a way for you to, through this shopping season for Christmas, I did it, didn't I? I did it. I talked about it like it was present tense to shop for Christmas. I think I need to go to re-education camp. That's terrible. Just because some retailers already are putting out their first Christmas decorations doesn't mean I have to be part of the problem. But I just was. Oh, well. So, sorry about that. The other thing I want to talk about is Google Express, which has been Google's attempt to offer free delivery. And this used to be a very expensive membership thing, but now they are offering delivery for a number of people that is it supposed to be 2 days, Joel? I don't see where it says 2 day. It's just free delivery?
Yeah, I think it depends. It varies by retailer, and it shows based on which item you're getting, whether you're getting 1, 2, or 3 day shipping.
So with this, you have another opportunity for free delivery. What they do with the stores on Google Express is there's a minimum purchase that's different per store that you have to achieve, and then through Google Express, you get free delivery. A couple of unusual things. Costco is available for the Google Express free delivery. If you're someone who likes Costco prices, but you don't like dealing with going through the store, then this is a way for you to get their prices and get the delivery. As long as you meet the minimum, you get the free delivery. Fry's Electronics, a very, very aggressive discounter of electronics, is available through this. Now, Fry's does not let you buy every item that they have on sale through it. There are a number of items that Fry's will designate, mark in-store only, even for people that get the Fry's private codes. But for things that allow online or in-store, you're able to use Google Express and get the free delivery. And it goes on and on, the number of merchants. The key thing is that no one has been able to crack the code of the level of reliability of delivery of Amazon. But many have prices significantly cheaper on the merchandise than Amazon. So you have to figure out how much that reliability matters. Walmart, which is the nation's world's largest retailer, much, much larger than Amazon, Walmart does the 2 day delivery as long as you meet the minimum order size, which is now $35. But 2 days at Walmart uses a different calendar than most other people. 2 days is often 3 or 4. Seems to be 2 days from when they finally get the order processed. And Walmart, that's something you got to work on, is your 2 days needs to be the same as the human calendar everybody else uses, instead of however many days it turns out to be for you. Justin joins us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Justin.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you, Justin. Your 8-year-old daughter is already a driver, huh?
Yeah, I've heard they grow up fast. I didn't quite know they grew up this fast, but it actually gets better. So she's received a few pieces of mail that have been, of some concern, and we're not really sure what to do with it. But one of which is she's received a driver's club membership. And then the second is she's received an invitation to a 55 and older exclusive community that obviously wouldn't apply to her. So I guess our concern is her identity in jeopardy, or what do we do from here?
Yeah, there's a pretty decent possibility that she is a victim of identity theft. And children are more likely to be victims of identity theft than adults are. And so that's why this, although we're making light of it, this is not a joke. This is a serious potential issue, is that somebody is out there pretending to be your daughter. And,
right.
You know, if she was a good driver at 8, it'd be fine if she had an auto club membership. But the fact that she's also receiving junk mail for a 55 plus makes me extra concerned. People go out and they shop for social security numbers of kids because they have basically no identity, and somebody can mask that they are that individual pretty easily. And that's why you do need to be aware and concerned. The best thing for you to do next is to see if there's any chance that she already has a credit record with one of the three bureaus.
Okay. So just go onto the three bureaus and type in her social security information, and it would pull up and find out if there is a history there.
Well, something that I want you to look at is a website called allclearid.com. And they used to offer a service where you could check on a kid to see if somebody was using a child's identity. And I want to see if they're still doing that. Joel, are you looking too?
I am.
So they used to have a simple way you could check. I don't see that anymore. So you're going to have to do it the hard work way. You're going to have to see if any of the credit bureaus show a record for your daughter.
Okay. If let's say that it comes up there is a history there, what is the process, or what would we do next to remedy that situation?
That is a good question. And so what you will be able to do in your state, because you live in the state of Georgia, is that right?
That's correct.
Your state is one of now a majority of states that allow you to institute a credit freeze for your 8-year-old, and you'd keep it in place till your 8-year-old's 18th birthday.
Gotcha.
And so you won't be able to prevent what's already happened, but you'll be able to prevent any further use, at least for the purpose of applying for credit on the part of your child.
And would that damage her? I mean, obviously, if there is something or someone's been abusing her credit of sorts.
At 8 years old, in the most ironic way, it's possible that it could come back to benefit her once she's a young adult.
Okay.
Because she would already have a fully established credit identity, and the bad information leaves after 7 years. So by the time she's 15, whatever mischief somebody's done will have disappeared.
Gotcha. So just freezing it helps, and you move forward from there, basically.
Exactly. And you've got some paperwork to do, but take the time to do it, because with a child, setting up a credit freeze has to be done manually. It's a paperwork-driven thing. You've got to prove you have a right to do it, that you're her father, and you send in documentation, where an adult just goes online and sets up a credit freeze in a couple of minutes. You've got more to do. Meryl is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Meryl. Meryl, are you there?
I am. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly, Meryl. You want to do something for the people who've been affected by Hurricane Harvey.
Sure. So like many people, we have a relative that was impacted, didn't have insurance. They're going to need some help. So friends and family around the country are rallying and trying to figure out what to do. My question, of course, you can write them a check, and that's a fantastic thing. But if everybody could get a tax deduction, that would be, I'm sure, you know, they would end up with more money. So my question is, are any strategies or donor-directed funds or any way to set up a fund that they could benefit from?
Well, you know, you can use a crowdfunding site, and this would be the perfect use where it's people who know the affected individual are giving. I don't like crowdfunding for a stranger, but in this case where it's a family member and family and friends would be giving money, you can use any of the bigs like GoFundMe. You have to give up some of the money to them as a fee, but it would be a very efficient way for you to get money to your loved one.
Sure, but how do you get it to them? How is a way for the donor to get a tax deduction? That's the big
thing. You can't get a tax deduction if it goes through one of the funding sites.
Right. Is there any way to set up a donor-directed fund or any other strategy?
There's no way you can do that for an individual.
Got it.
The money has to go through a charity. Now, if you decide to do something like this where you just want to get money to this individual, there is a small crowdfunding platform that doesn't charge fees called youcaring.com.
Okay.
But as far as you doing this in a way that's tax deductible, when it's going to an individual, they are not a charity.
Right.
And it cannot be deducted.
I figured you would know if there was another strategy.
This one's one that a lot of people have tried to crack, and there's no way I know of that would be legit to do that. Marmaker joins us on the Clark Howard Show. How are you doing?
Hey, good, Clark. How are you?
Great, thank you. You have been saving money.
Well, trying to.
So now that you've saved money, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah, so my dad actually advised me that, the safe way would be to do a CD for a couple of more years. And I just wanted to know which CDs are out there. I did my research. And everyone around my friend circle is suggesting me to do Ally Bank CD because it's a safest. It gives up to $250,000 warranty, right? I mean, the insurance.
Yeah, any bank that I would ever encourage you to put money in a CD is going to be FDIC insured up to $250,000.
Okay.
How much money do you have that you want to put in a CD?
Around $60,000.
Great. So that means every offer out there you're going to qualify for, because most of them have a minimum of $500 or $1,000, but some of the best rates require a larger minimum deposit. You've got anything they would ever want. So you're thinking 2 years?
Yeah, 2 to 3 years would be ideal, yeah.
Okay. So you're going to find that on two-year CDs, the best that's going to be in the marketplace is going to be about 1.75%.
Okay.
Right in that range. And I'm looking, how much is Ally right now on that? Let's see.
I think Ally is, they're giving about 1.5% or 1.8%, depending on which account. Would it be better to do a CD, or would it be better to just open up a savings account in Ally Bank? Because it's only like 0.2% difference.
Yeah. So if you're looking at such a narrow gap between a savings rate and a CD, the fact that the likely trend for interest rates is going to go gradually higher, it would be a good idea for you to look at going into savings instead of a CD. You know, with the spread between a savings rate and a CD starts moving to any meaningful amount, like, a half a point or something like that, then it's worth locking down your money in the CD instead of the savings account. You know, a lot of times people, though, will split it.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a lot of money sitting there. You could put a certain portion of it straight in a savings account where you knew if you needed it, you have almost immediate access to it, and put the rest in a multi-year CD.
Okay. But do you recommend Ally Bank?
Ally's a great choice, but I'll tell you what I would do. I would go look at two websites and see what the best deals are right now. One of them would be GoBankingRates.com.
GoBankingRates, okay.
And the other would be BankRate.com. And both of them are only going to show you organizations that are FDIC insured.
Okay.
And so you can look through and see what people are offering. And the only difference between a federally insured bank on a savings account or CD that's paying more money than another is that they pay more money than the other. I mean, there's nothing else you have to worry about because you're doing transactions. Okay. You're just putting money in. You're letting it sit in a parking space. And that's why just whoever is offering the best deal that's FDIC insured, that's who I'd go with. And it's interesting watching the just simple savings rates have been moving up quite nicely with the online banks, going nowhere with traditional banks, still paying basically nothing at those. You're listening to the Clark Howard Show. I appreciate you tuning in to the Clark Howard Show. And if you'd like more fun stuff to listen to by podcast, well, we have our Empowerment Zone. This is where you get to hear the stories of people that have done amazing things, either in overcoming hardship in their lives or things they've done to accomplish. Go to clark.com/empowermentzone.